Good afternoon. This is Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. I was in Paris a few weeks ago and went to a fascinating exhibition at the Musée du Quai Branly called Maître du Désordre, or Masters of Chaos, which presents examples of shamanism and folk art alongside contemporary art, notably a video of Joseph Beuys's best-known action, How to Explain Pictures to a Dead Hare, which was first enacted at the Galerie Schmeler in Düsseldorf in 1965. And this is shown alongside in Paris, alongside folk art costumes worn by Bulgarian wild men and African fetish objects. Briefly, the exhibition presents, and the following texts are a mixture of catalogue notes and descriptive cards alongside exhibits, sacred clowns, margin men of North America, costumes of rags caked in dirt, repulsion caused by the ingestion of feces or parasites. He who consumes the unspeakable can utter the unsayable. Ceremonial buffoons, orthodox madmen of God. These sacred clowns are often the most powerful amongst exorcists and diviners. The Masters of Chaos are technicians of the difficult transition through the spatial abyss that separates us from the spirit world. A vase in the shape of a half-human, half-deer with antlers reserved for the ingestion of urine by a shaman. Tangled webs of rope, small revolting mounds, sets of indefinable elements which are the results of manipulations performed during rituals, the traces of which they bear. Their shape and appearance intrinsically undergo continuous change as they are transformed every time the priest activates them. Although the logic seems impenetrable, each element is itself related to the others and conveys a message that only the initiate, the master of chaos, knows how to decipher. Each object has its own recipe, made up of materials, gestures and words. Each object is a compendium of forces that chronicles the chaos of existence. Such violent, often seasonal explosions and excesses are necessary for the renewal of nature or society expressed through taboos and atonements. Feasts of fools and carnivals that allow the expression of impulses are moments of social inversion, where laughter and the ludicrous are aimed at fighting against social and political hierarchies. They result in the evocation of a world turned upside down, of a universe that has been seized by chaos. The fools were dressed in the colours that symbolise madness, green, yellow and red, with gold and silver decorations, brandishing mirrors and saying to people, "Look at yourselves." This custom was eschewed by ecclesiastical authorities before being definitively banned by the Council of Trent. The Concert in an Egg, an oil painting after Jerome Bosch, 1561. The room dedicated to profane conjurations, feigned insanity and immaturity, carnival gestures, metaphysical clowns, insults, bodily excesses, a celebration of vileness. The exhibition Masters of Chaos at the Musée du Quai Branly, Paris, runs until July the 29th. Inspired by the exhibition, I've chosen the following tracks, amongst others not necessarily in this order. Yoruba drums from Benin, West Africa, which probably represent the roots of Haitian voodoo music, and Spirits of Life, Music of Haiti and Drums of Haiti. Both these CDs are available from the excellent Sounds of the Universe shop, 7 Broadwick Street, Soho. Then Pieces of Sound by artist Vincenzo Agnetti, which remark upon a strange physicality and suggest some sort of mystical or quasi-mystical intention. The artist's forceful performance gives the impression of a thoroughly westernized shaman whose obsession with numerology may beget untold mysteries for healing a fragmented globe, says Robert C. Morgan, on the sleeve notes to Revolutions Per Minute, The Art Record 1981. And eventually, The Magic of Juju by Archie Shepp, issued on the Impulse label, recorded in 1967 in a gatefold sleeve, with a photographic illustration of a painted skull credited to one Alan Winston. And the shop in Tate Modern is presently selling limited edition plastic skulls artfully splattered with gloss household paint by Damien Hirst for £36,800 each, including VAT. The term juju and the practices associated with it travelled to the Americas from West Africa with the influx of slaves, and still survives in some areas, particularly among the various groups of Maroons who escaped slavery by hiding in the hills and preserving their African traditions. Contrary to common belief, voodoo is not related to juju, despite the linguistic and spiritual similarities. Juju has acquired some karmic attributes in more recent times. Good juju can stem from almost any good deed, saving a kitten or returning a lost book. And bad juju can be spread just as easily. These ideas revolve around the luck and fortune portions of juju. The use of juju to describe an object usually involves small items worn or carried. These generally contain medicines produced by witch doctors or caramelised peanut sellers on the Millennium Bridge. I continue my exhaustive research into voodoo by reading the first chapter of Voodoo in Haiti by Alfred Metreau. Foyles and Blackwell's had nothing. Atlantis Bookshop on Museum Street had hardly anything, and I was repelled by the numerous images of Aleister Crowley staring at me, so I ventured into Watkins on Cecil Court for the second time in my life. I've always been put off Watkins in the past by the smell of incense and the sight of a tarot card reader sitting in the window wearing a turban, like something from a sort of Todd Browning film or perhaps a Hammer film, but was pleasantly surprised by the size of the basement and equally surprised to find that they had a whole shelf full of books on voodoo, some of which seemed to be aimed at aspiring priests and priestesses such as filmmaker Maya Deren, who travelled to Haiti in the 1940s and filmed The Divine Horsemen. Books on how to slowly poison your landlord, perhaps, and so on. Lots of snake images. Then by chance or coincidence, in another bookshop, I came across a catalogue for another exhibition in Paris in 2011 called Vodun, African Voodoo with Illustrations of Statuettes. Figure 5. This little figure has its feet positioned on top of a stake to which a metal spike has been added so that the statue can be planted in the ground without coming into contact with it. The hands hanging at its side, globular eyes deeply embedded in hollow sockets suggestive of a skull. It is covered with a granular crust from the blood and oils of sacrifices. The jaw of a rodent is tied to its back with thick cords. The two holes in its abdomen mark places where pegs that have since disappeared could be put in or taken out. Speech was thus returned to the enemy. Harvard scholar Suzanne Preston Bleer has suggested that the origins of the word voodoo lie in the phrase rest to draw the water, from the Fon verbs vo to rest and dun to draw water, referencing the necessity to remain calm when facing whatever difficulties may lie in one's path. So, when you next see the slogan "Keep calm and carry on," remember that it probably derives from voodoo. Anyway, we will start with Yoruba drums from the Benin region of Africa, which are probably the roots of Haitian voodoo. Thank you.
Uno, due, tre, quattro, cinque, sei, sette, otto, nove, dieci, uno, due, tre. Cinque, sei, sette, otto. Nove, dieci, uno, due. Quattro, cinque, sei, sette, otto. Cinque, quattro, tre, due, uno. Uno, uno. Sono nove, dieci, uno. Cinque, quattro, tre, due, uno. Uno.
Quoi c'est beau?
Quoi c'est beau?
Aidez, mais l'argent. Ma pépa ou l'argent pour garder un fort pour moi. Aidez, ni beau, mais l'argent. C'est clé quitté. Oh, mais l'argent là, ma pépa ou l'argent pour garder un fort pour moi. Aidez,
mais l'argent.
Thank you.
Ha ha ha! Ha ha ha!